Good morning, friends of the White Way. I hope this day finds you well, basking in the warm light of Amida Buddha's compassion and living gratefully day by day. Before I share with you some thoughts that are important to me and for you to meditate on, I must mention a few things that may be extraneous but timely. For example, according to our American calendar and custom, today is Valentine's Day, and everywhere we are reminded by that bright red heart-shaped symbol that today is the day to make a special effort to express our love to our dear ones. I hope you intend to do something special today. This month is also the month to honor our presidents. From the first President George Washington to the present President Barack Obama. President's Day this year is February 16, on Monday, just 2 days from now. It will be a day of rest for some people. You might remember that many years ago, February 12 and February 22 were special days in February because the 16th president, President Lincoln's birthday, was the 12th, and the first president, George Washington's birthday, was February 22nd. Then there is a special day for Buddhists also. I think you all know that. Tomorrow, February 15, is Nirvana Day, which commemorates the death of Shakyamuni Buddha. For some strange reason, of the three important events in Shakyamuni's life, his death is not observed as elaborately as his birth and his enlightenment are. You must have noticed, too, that in the Japanese Buddhist denominations, the founders of the denominations seem to take precedence over the Buddha himself. In the Honganji, Shinran's birth is marked with Gotange, with special services, and his death is remembered more lavishly with Ho-onko. In some places, Shinran's death is observed annually for a period of a week with services and lecture sessions. I'm sure there is no disrespect meant for the Buddha. So today, let us simply mark February 15 as a special day for Buddhists. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are some thoughts that require some serious consideration. It has to do with a problem that is constant, and it has to do with the future of Buddhism in Hawaii. And it begins with the usual question, where do we go from here? Reckoning the history of the Honganji in Hawaii with the arrival of Reverend Soryu Kagai in 1889. This year is 126 years. From very early, Buddhists have taken their places in the community in all sorts of roles, as teachers, doctors, business people, farmers, lawyers, and engineers. And they did very well, effectively, and responsibly. But the age of the Nisei and Sansei is rapidly coming to its close. Are we prepared to pass on the leadership of the Sangha to the next generation? I've wondered whether the older generation is reluctant to let go of their roles and train those who are coming up the ladder. The task is not an easy one, but we can learn from our Issei parents. A few weeks ago, I was invited to have dinner with the Reverend David and the Reverend Irene Nakamoto, a wonderful husband and wife team. In the course of our conversation, Reverend David mentioned that he had read a very interesting book by Dr. Viktor Frankl. He said he first read it as a required reading in school, but he was so intrigued by the ideas expressed in the book that he read it a second time recently. The title of the book is Man's Search for Meaning, and it is a log of Dr. Frankl's life in a German prison camp during World War II. And the conclusion is, if there is meaning in what you are doing, you won't mind undergoing a lot of pain and suffering. It tells of Viktor Frankl's will to survive the prison camp because he had to get out alive to work for the Jewish community. I immediately related Dr. Frankl's thesis to the suffering of the Issei who chose to stay on the plantations to labor for their Nisei children. The period and circumstances were different, but the ideas were the same. We are unable to fathom the humiliation and suffering the Issei endured for our sake. We ought to be very, very grateful. Now, what has this story got to do with what I want to ask? In our tradition, there is the saying, jiri dita, which basically means benefit self, benefit others. But it could mean benefit self, then benefit others, or it could be translated, by benefiting oneself, you'd be benefiting others. Or it can be simply benefit yourself and benefit others. Whether we benefit first before we benefit others, or whether we are mutually benefiting ourselves and others, what I am suggesting is we should get ourselves as well as others to be a bit more involved in thinking about and working for the future of the Honganji. We want the younger ones, the Yonsei and Gosei, to be comfortable in the knowledge that the Honganji is their temple and it is a part of the community, and that there is a place for them. But it will take the Nisei and Sansei through their thoughts and action to lead the way. We should see that our members are given the opportunity to help within the Sangha. It shouldn't be difficult to persuade a youngster to serve on a temple committee, for example. Once they are involved, they will find it easier to take further more responsibilities. Also, it is recorded in our tradition that once a follower complained to Renyo Shonin, saying, "Why is it that when I'm in the sanctuary listening to your talk, I understand everything, But as soon as I leave the sanctuary, I don't remember a thing. In answer, Renyo Shoning said, it's because you are filling your head with the Dharma, but your head is full of holes, and all that you put in will leak out. Instead, you should immerse yourself in the Dharma. Then the holes through which everything was escaping will be holes through which everything goes in. I'm sure you've heard that story many times. There is religious significance in that story, but it has a wider meaning because we are all part of the community, and we ought to immerse ourselves in the community for our sake as well as for others. Will you give some thoughts to what I just mentioned? Let me conclude with Ohara Sensei's poem about the mountain that is constant and loving. He wrote, Hima no toki ni wa, ware wa yama o miru. Isogashii toki ni wa, yama ga ware o miru. Translated briefly, it is, when I have time, I look at the mountain. But when I am busy, the mountain is looking at me. In other words, Amida Buddha is constantly with us, whether we are conscious of it or not. Let us be grateful for that also and do our share for ourselves and for our community. Thank you for listening. Namo Amida Butsu.